It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show on a Friday morning, a few minutes after 5 a.m. For those of you who are up dark and early, the clock changes this weekend. So just so you know, when are we going to get rid of that?
I know they've tried to pass legislation to get rid of daylight saving time, but I would be a huge proponent of that. I am excited to get an extra hour of sleep, but that is not worth it to have it get dark at 5:30.
Have long lobbied for them to just pick one and stick with it instead of this constant back and forth. They first did this back in the 70s, so they could have longer in the afternoon to play golf in Washington, D.C.
Oh, that was it?
So, yeah, that's my opinion on why they originally did it. So, anyway, that's coming up this weekend. It's the final Friday before Election Day. We have got a packed show. Kim was just commenting on that as I walked in the door here. Wow, we got a lot of stuff to get through today. We do. There are some big races going on. I've been trying to squeeze them all in here. I've been trying to get to David Gregory out there in that Senate District 23 to come on. He's too busy, I guess. I've tried repeatedly to get him on the show because he's on my list here in a very tight race. So today we're going to concentrate with a couple of candidates who are running for county council positions. It could be a key. It could swing the balance of power in St. Louis County if those two positions are secured by the Republicans who are running for them. So we're going to talk to Sudhir Ruthad, who's running in North County, and we're going to talk to my friend Mike Archer, who's running down in South County in the 6th District. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be great. We're going to talk to Wes Martin, who's the lead pastor out at Grace Church, where Kim happens to go, because, you know, one of my criticisms through this election cycle is that churches have been reticent, hesitant to get involved in the trenches on this Amendment 3 issue. This is not a question of putting at risk your 503c organization status. You're allowed to voice your opinion on issues of life and death. That's what this is.
Right.
I can't wait to talk to the pastor about his take on it, because I know he has been preaching that message.
The entire service this past Sunday focused on abortion and Amendment 3.
Yeah, as it should be. It very, very much should be. So we're going to talk to him today in the 8 o'clock hour. We are kicking off First Responder Thanksgiving the entire month of November. You know what I do every year if you listen to this show. We help Responder Rescue. Great organization. They do a raffle. We've got a fantastic firearm from the Range St. Louis West. It's a 9mm rifle, CMMG. It's beautiful. It's worth a couple of grand. And that's one item that we're raffling off in addition to a basket of booze and some other stuff. I'm going to give you more details throughout the morning. But the link is live. I'll put a link to it up on the Facebook page. And you can go and buy your tickets. They're only $1 a piece. And you have a chance of winning 3 different prizes, all valued in excess of $1,000. And all the money goes to Responder Rescue. 100% of the money is going to Responder Rescue. So we're going to talk about that this morning as well. It is a full show. So, Carl Middleman, why don't we go ahead and get to the top stories, please?
Let's do it.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Donald Trump, you never see him around strong, intelligent women, ever. It's just that simple.
You know, proof right there, living proof that you can be stupid and be incredibly successful in this country. That is Mark Cuban, who would make an ignorant statement like that one. The list is so long, I couldn't even mention how many beautiful, intelligent, powerful women there are supporting Donald Trump in this election.
ABC is no good. CBS is no good. And in fact, in honor of you, I just sued CBS today because of 60 Minutes.
Yeah, he sued CBS for editing the Kamala Harris interview to try to give her cover for her inability to answer questions. That's going to be huge. Great headline. I don't know how successful it'll be, but a great headline just a few days before the election.
I grew up as a child of the civil rights movement. My parents would take me to marches when I was in a stroller.
With pigtails. She forgot the pigtails part. Come on, Kamala. I was raised in a middle-class household. It's same story over and over and over again. Depending on which crowd she's talking to, she modifies it.
The most important thing that we can do when it comes to gun violence is put those who commit it behind bars. I will say that his incident last week maybe convinced me that gun control might be needed for him.
Josh Hawley and Lucas Kuntz yesterday on Fox 2, they aired that debate. And I didn't watch it live because I have a life to live and my grandchildren came over and we took them trick-or-treating. So I wasn't about to be inside glued to the TV at 7 o'clock. But I did watch the highlights and Josh Hawley just owned him.
I mean, we knew that was going to come up. I tried to stream it last night, but I too was running around chasing my son dressed up as a lobster because he found a bubble machine that he was obsessed with. But that's hilarious because you can't go. I mean, that had to come up multiple times, right? That whole shooting incident.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Carl, go ahead and hit cut number 9 for us, please.
A little bit of courage to share a stage with Lucas Kuntz after he shot a reporter last week. I guess he wants to go out with a bang.
What did Lucas Kuntz say to that?
I don't know, but his comment there was to the moderators at Fox 2. It's pretty brave of you to want to share a stage with Lucas Kuntz after he shot a reporter last week.
Well, here's what's funny. You know that those reporters, even though they might, you know, really dislike Josh Hawley, I don't know their political beliefs, but let's just say they do. That's a funny comment. And as moderators, they had to play it off like, you know, just no reaction.
How did they keep a straight face when he said that? Because they had to see that coming. Let's go to the longer version of what Hawley said to Kuntz, and because he was talking specifically here about his policies. Now, I mean, the jokes about the gun thing, you saw that coming. But Hawley just schooled him because Lucas Kuntz has famously, he will not endorse Kamala Harris. He won't even utter her name. And then he tried to go to a gun range to convince you that he's a pro 2A guy because he's been in the military and he does something stupid like shoot a reporter. He's a faker is what he is. And Hawley completely called him out on it. Go to cut 11, please.
First of all, here's what I would start by never doing. I would never give Social Security to illegal immigrants. I would never give 15, 20 million illegal immigrants in this country amnesty, which my opponent, sadly, has said over and over that he supports. And I wouldn't give Medicare to illegal immigrants either. To protect our Social Security program, we've got to make sure that the people who paid into it actually keep everything they paid in. And by the way, that's why I oppose and always have raising the retirement age or any cuts to any benefits of any kind for Social Security. Now, if you want to know how to save Social Security, the answer is start cutting things like the 87,000 IRS agents that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have spent billions of dollars on, and by the way, which my opponent supports. But more than anything else, we have got to make sure that Social Security is there for every American worker who paid into it. And we can start by ensuring illegal immigrants never get it. And we never, ever, ever give them amnesty.
Yeah, thank you. And Lucas Kuntz would, which I thought he pointed out pretty effectively last night in that. We got some more Hawley sound. We'll get to that for you coming up this morning so you can hear a little more of that. And I'm going to talk a bit more about what's going on in St. Charles County. Yesterday, I heard an interview with a state representative who said some of the most outrageous, really obnoxious and insulting things that I've heard in a long time about the people who want to make sure we have election integrity. There are people in St. Charles County who are concerned about election integrity. You should be, too. Kurt Barr should be as well. And they had to go to court to guarantee it. And now they're being criticized and being accused of trying to keep people from voting in St. Charles County. It's the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard. And I'm going to explain that to you coming up here. Kurt Barr was on with Mark Reardon yesterday. I'm going to play some of his reaction to this and talk about it when we come back here in just a couple of minutes. But first, Carl Middleman, should we get to the fray?
Rabbit. It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right.
We have a process in law for the parties to have watchers and challengers at the polling place on election day. So a challenger is somebody who can watch the process of the voting, watch the voters get checked in, watch the election judges hand the ballots, and watch that whole process. The watcher is somebody who can observe the counting of the ballot and the counting of the absentee ballots at the election authority office. And historically, we have always understood it because the law says, you know, on election day, that these two positions are for election day. Well, this election, we had one member of the Republican Central Committee say, hey, I want to be a challenger at the two early vote site locations. And we said, well, that's not how we understand the law, and we can't allow that. We did allow him to be a watcher on election day because, you know, he is a registered voter in St. Charles County. He has
pause it there for a minute. That's Kurt Barr, the elections director, on with Mark Reardon yesterday, the guy from St. Charles County, obviously, talking about this lawsuit. Now, late yesterday, a different judge, came out and quashed the order from the judge the day before, basically issuing a temporary restraining order. And there's still a hearing this morning on this issue. This dispute is far from over. Here's what I don't understand, and nobody's been able to explain it to me yesterday, and I heard a completely insulting interview yesterday with a local state representative from St. Charles County accusing anybody who supports Travis Hines, who filed the lawsuit, as being anti-voter and trying to keep people from voting, and nothing could be the truth. You heard Travis, could be further from the truth. You heard Travis on this show yesterday morning. What he said was, there should be watchers in the polling places. And when he went to Kurt Barr and asked to do that, Kurt Barr said, oh, you can't do that. You can only do that on election day. Well, guess what? Election day is now election month. Common sense would tell you that if the polls are open and people are voting, that's no different than on election day, next Tuesday, people are physically going in and voting. That's when you need the watchers. Not just on the one day, but on every day you physically have people in there casting a ballot. It's just common sense. And Kurt Barr is on here yesterday trying to argue that, well, that only applies, to election day. And if a judge tells me otherwise, well, I'll allow it. But that just defies common sense. And to be accused of trying to block the vote, the point of saying no more voting should take place until this is remedied is to force Kurt Barr to remedy it, and then there would have been no interruption in voting. Not that there was, but The point was there doesn't need to be an interruption in voting, but if Kurt Barr refuses to allow this to happen, maybe there should be, to put the pressure on Barr to allow the watchers into the place. And I listened to that interview yesterday, and I'm thinking to myself, Kurt, I'm not sure you get it here. This makes no sense to me whatsoever. And this was his follow up on that. Is that cut 14, Carl? Hit that, please.
That order was vacated by the judge that will hear the case tomorrow. So that order saying, hey, you can't be open, that order's been vacated. But we are going to go before the judge tomorrow. And the question is, here is our longstanding understanding that this challenger position is an Election Day only position. And the Republican Central Committee is saying it should be for early voting. And I don't disagree whether or not it should be for early voting. I'm just saying that's not what the law says.
Okay.
And so, if the judge says no, the law is more broad than our understanding, then we'll comply with the judge's order and allow them, to be a challenger at the early vote site. But of course, we'll then reach out to the other party and say, hey, since the rules changed midstream, if you want somebody here as well to represent your side, you can appoint somebody to be here as well.
Okay. Because
that's one of the things is, we want both sides of the equation to have, a chance for equal representation in the whole process of the election.
So what you just heard Kurt Barr explain there is exactly what Travis Hines said yesterday, is that he went to Kurt Barr and said, I want to do this. Kurt Barr said, sue me. That's what happened. He said, I'm not going to let you do it. But if you think you should be able to do it, sue me. So he went and sued him, and then Barr and a bunch of his supporters out there started screaming foul that people were trying to keep people from voting. It's the biggest bunch of immature, childish politics I've ever seen from this group of people that's tried to take over the St. Charles County Central Committee, a bunch of moderates, very, very moderate Republicans, at the very least, in St. Charles County, in my opinion, that are trying to pull this off. The hearing is this morning. It'll be after our show ends, but I'm sure we'll cover the results a little later in the day. We'll certainly know by this afternoon what the judge has decided in that case. All right, stick around. We got Kim on a Whim coming up. We'll be right back.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
Thousands of Washington Post readers have canceled their subscriptions after the newspaper announced it would not endorse a presidential candidate. The publisher says it's, quote, returning to our roots of not endorsing presidential candidates. Before 1976, the Post did not typically endorse candidates. Sources tell the Wall Street Journal that an editorial was already in the works endorsing Vice President Kamala Harris. Critics claim the decision was made over fears of retribution from former President Trump.
And when she says thousands of people have canceled their subscription to the Washington Post, let me clarify that. She means more than 250,000 people canceled their subscriptions, revolting over the fact that the Washington Post has decided to not endorse Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, the Washington Post is not the only newspaper that in every other pretty much election year, they would endorse a candidate, typically the Democratic candidate. They did in 2020, Joe Biden. And then all of a sudden, they're not endorsing Kamala Harris. The LA Times is included in that. Like I mentioned, the Washington Post, USA Today, Minnesota Star Tribune, the Des Moines Register. I could go on. The Tampa Bay Times. What is going on?
What is going on is that you've got these organizations that realize how bad of a candidate Kamala Harris is.
Well,
my guess is, and tell me if I'm wrong here, the last time they endorsed, when they first started endorsing a candidate, it was 1976. Have they ever endorsed a Republican?
I was going to say, I don't know that they ever have.
So my guess is that election cycle would have been Jimmy Carter. They probably endorsed Jimmy Carter that year and just started right on down the line with, Walter Mondale and whoever else was running after that as the Democratic candidate. And this year, for the first time, they're not endorsing because she's so bad. It has nothing to do with them fearing retribution from Donald Trump.
No.
Because if she wins, what power does he have anyway? And if she doesn't win, he has no record of suppressing media. When he got president last time.
Right. This doesn't say anything about Donald Trump because we all knew that these papers wouldn't endorse Trump. It says everything about the fact that they're not endorsing Kamala Harris. Now, the question I want to pose is, should these papers even be endorsing in the first place? I personally think it's ridiculous. I understand that a lot of them try to, well, they separate it and say, well, this is an editorial and da-da-da. No, I don't think, these are supposed to be objective newspapers.
But they bought the farm a long time
ago. Well, but I don't understand why this idea of endorsements for political candidates ever started in the first place. I think it's silly, and I think for them to sit there and want to say that they're objective and they're going to tell both sides, but we already know that they've already, you know, publicly endorsed, I guess 4 years ago would have been Joe Biden. How are you expecting us to read an article and think, yeah, that was it. That was fair to both candidates.
It's a joke, and it has been for a long time, and here's why. Because in the 1960s, all the people that are now leading these news organizations all wanted to get into journalism because they were activists and they wanted to make a difference. Boy, have they made a difference. You could certainly say that. And when they got into these big newspapers, they created these editorial boards because they wanted to say that the editorial board's opinion was separate from their hard news journalists who went out and worked every day. TV stations could never get away with that, right? A TV station has reporters on the air covering stories, but the general manager doesn't go out and endorse political candidates one way or the other.
Right.
It was basically the influence of the owner on the editorial board, who's a hard lefty, pushing lefty candidates for the New York Times and the L.A. Times and, you know, the Detroit Free Press. And all the way down the line, this was just a vessel for the left to use to push their far left progressive candidates in every election. In this particular case, starting in 1976, some of them started earlier than that. The fact that they're so disgruntled with Kamala Harris, they know what a horrible candidate she is, speaks volumes here. They're not the first newspaper to do this, right?
Right. I mean, like I mentioned, there's a bunch of newspapers that have done this. New York Times, the LA Times, a lot of these
unheard of.
Right. So YouGov conducted this poll on October 29th asking people if they think these newspapers should be endorsing political candidates. They surveyed about 6,000, just over 6,000 people. And of those people, 47% believe newspapers should not back a presidential candidate. 28% said they should. And 25% said they were unsure. This should not surprise you at all. More Democrats than Republicans said newspapers should endorse candidates. You think? I wonder why.
Because they think it's going to help their candidates, their liberal candidates get elected.
Right.
There's so much more to this. They're trying to blame it on the owners or this owner or that owner. Bezos is a hard lefty.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way he's influencing against endorsing a left-wing liberal candidate, except that he maybe even he realizes, as somebody who started a small business and carried it to great things, that America can't survive under the policies of Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Can't.
You know, I think this whole idea of people podcasting and being their own journalists, starting YouTube channels is interesting because it's really shaken up the media landscape, if you will, because think about what just happened with Joe Rogan. Okay, so Joe Rogan interviews Donald Trump for a 3-hour interview. Then he interviews J.D. Vance for a 3-hour interview. Kamala Harris, the current vice president of the United States, agrees, I guess, reluctantly to an interview with him, but says, well, here are my terms. You have to come to me, and it's only going to be an hour, not 3 hours like you're requesting. And Joe Rogan, the guy who used to host Fear Factor, is now so popular that he can tell the vice president of the United States no, because the reality is she needs his followers more than he needs her.
Well,
isn't that wild that that's what we've come to, that these podcasters have so much power and these candidates need their followers?
They do.
That's the audience they're trying to reach. We know Kamala is desperate to get the male vote.
I think, Carl, I can't play it from over here, but we have that Rogan soundbite in the day file today near the bottom there. Rogan and Kamala on why she chose to skip his show. Can you play that for me? Oh. Sorry. I surprised Carl with that. We're having trouble getting my computer to play. Maybe it's because it's too cold in here. My computer is clammed up and won't play anything.
I would blame it elsewhere, but okay. You could look at this and you say, oh, you're being a diva. But she had an opportunity to come here when she was in Texas, and I literally gave them an open invitation. I said, anytime. I said, if she's done at 10 o'clock, we'll come here at 10 o'clock. Mm. I'll do it at 9 in the morning. I'll do it at 10 p.m. I'll do it at midnight. She's up. She wants to, you know, drink a Red Bull.
Again, she needs him more than he needs her. So he ultimately, the former host of Fear Factor, has more power than the vice president in this case. I think that's very fascinating.
Yeah.
That he can dictate it like, nope, you're coming to me.
I would agree with that completely. It's the Rogan impact is going to be huge in this case. Just like I think the Elon Musk impact is going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
The freewheeling hour and a half or hour and 45 minutes Elon Musk did with Donald Trump, the yep. 3-hour interview, the Vance stuff with Rogan was outstanding. And I mean, they just had a bro moment, I think, like a bromance.
A bromance,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think they did.
You can cover topics that you don't have time to cover in a traditional interview, right? Like 60 minutes, you know, you've got to hit the key topics like immigration, the economy, abortion, all those things that are driving the Americans to the polls, right? You don't have time to talk about windmills in the ocean that are affecting whales. Like, you just don't have the time to talk about that. And so I think really what these podcasts, these longer form interviews do is it personalizes them, right? It's easy to look at them as just this political figure and you see them with their talking points. And I think it's nice to see more of their personality coming out when they're doing these, in this case, 3-hour interviews.
Well, and plus it shows your ability to sit down and have a conversation for 3 hours.
Well, and that's why Kamala Harris won't do it, because there's no way she could do that. I don't think that she would feel confident enough going into an interview with Rogan, feeling like he could throw anything at her and she would be able to think on her feet and come up with some coherent answer.
That's impossible. That will never happen, I would venture to say. All right, when we come back here, I want to talk a little bit more about this whole election integrity issue, not just about St. Charles County. I mean, I think that's an important part of the conversation. Of course we should have watchers at the polls. If the polls are open, you should have watchers. Used to be the polls are only open on election day. That's not the case anymore. Polls are open, should have watchers. That's going to be a slam dunk for a judge today out there. We're going to talk about some of the other problems we're seeing around the country when we come back.
A TikTok video showing a Kentucky ballot machine malfunctioning is going viral online tonight. It happened in Laurel County. In the video, you see a voter repeatedly tapping Donald Trump's name on the touchscreen, but it never gets selected. And at one point when tapping Trump's name, Kamala Harris' name actually gets selected. Laurel County Clerk Tony Brown has responded to this, saying the Attorney General's office actually came to investigate. It found it took several minutes to recreate the situation, and then they could not get it to happen again.
That's I'm sure you've probably seen the video if you're on the socials at all. It was all over Facebook yesterday, and I'm sure X as well. I saw it on X this morning, in fact. They're claiming it was isolated. This is my problem with these voting machines. And in fact, I'm sure with just a moment's notice here, I could probably go back to last month when I had the bite from Elon Musk, who said very clearly that he would not use, he doesn't trust the technology, right? That he would not support, he doesn't support electronic voting machines because he doesn't trust computers. Now, that's interesting because computers basically drive his cars and his spaceships. But he said when it comes to voting machines, it would be too easy to manipulate them.
Well, there's more of a motivation to want to manipulate a voting machine versus a spaceship. Now, I can see there'd be for both, especially if people want a particular candidate to win, they're going to find a way to potentially hack into that.
Well, and they claim that they removed this machine. They couldn't get it the problem to repeat on any other machine in that precinct. Laurel County is down near London, Kentucky. I happen to know that because I have relatives who live there. So it's made big news in the state of Kentucky, but they're all quick to point out, like if you Google Kentucky voting machine, all of the headlines are It's an isolated case, Kentucky officials say. They're all investigating it. I'm glad they're investigating it. But I do think that had that person not been paying attention, their vote would have gone for Kamala Harris. And on the voting machines, and I remember having this problem when we had them in Missouri, it was not always easy to tell. Now, it would print up a paper version of what you voted, supposedly, but it was not always clear to me at the end of the voting process. When I have a piece of paper that I can fill out by putting a little dark circle in there, then you're at the mercy of the scanner, right? Could the scanner be manipulated? I guess so. They're all supposed to be certified. They're tested again and again for effectiveness by people running them through the machines and then going through and hand counting those same votes to make sure that the tallies match. They're certified. But you've got Denny Hoskins, who's running for Secretary of State, who's one of the people in support of paper ballots. We did it for years in this state without incident until the computers came along. I'm not quite sure why everybody acts like you couldn't do it again. Is it faster sometimes to run it, just run it through the computer and take all the chips out of the computer machine, stick them in a computer somewhere, let it tabulate all the votes instead of doing it by hand? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's probably more effective. But I think that if those things aren't audited regularly before each election, and I'm not talking about one of the machines, I mean all of the machines should have the same test run on it. I've got a soundbite here from Kurt Barr, and you know, this is the thing that I find interesting about what's going on in St. Charles County. I've known Kurt for a long time. I'm not ascribing any ill intent here on his part. Don't take that the wrong way. But when I heard this soundbite from him about why these polls were understaffed to begin with, I have to admit I was a little surprised. Do you know anybody who didn't think this was going to be the biggest voter turnout election in history?
No.
Okay, listen. Is that still not playing, Carl? Are you kidding
still
me?
Still not.
Hold on. I thought we had just fixed our problem because you heard me play some sound there just a minute ago. And let me see here. Yeah, it's still on one over here, Carl. Livewire out one. So if you can get back into that file, Carl, the file I'm looking for there is Kurt Barr on why he understaffed for this election in today's day file, please.
Okay. There we go.
So what we had done is in 2020, the high water mark was 2,600 voters. And so we said, okay, let's assume the high water mark every day for 2 weeks, and let's staff and plan for that.
Right.
And that seemed like a reasonable thing since, you know, the last 2 years we've had very anemic voting in the early voting period. Well, something happened between the August election and November election where the public became very much aware of this process, and they decided to heavily utilize the early voting period. And, you know, we've been working to address the situation, you know, at the satellite location at Element Church. We, you know, increased our staffing there, increased our resources there, increased our ability to process people more quickly. We also went ahead and opened up that polling place for the Monday before the election. We haven't used it the Monday before the election previously, but we are going to this Monday have that place open. And then, of course, the Election Authority Office, we've worked a lot to relieve the traffic congestion issue that we've had here because we do have a small parking lot.
So in it, suddenly everybody decided to show up. He said, I mean, the Republican Party has been preaching early voting. Donald Trump's been preaching early voting. You have to take Laura Trump. You have to take advantage of the system the way it is because the other side is taking advantage of the system the way it is. Don't be a knucklehead, to borrow a phrase, and go out on election day only. If you can get out there and vote early, may take you an hour, may take you 3 hours on election day. Why not go ahead and get it out of the way early? So I am surprised that Kurt Barr was surprised that there are long lines and high demand for early voting. St. Louis County saw it coming. They put out 14 locations.
And
the
even,
city of
even
St. Louis
with that,
put out eight.
Even with the 14 locations, it's still been like an hour wait.
I know. So there you have it. Election integrity matters, and we need to have poll watchers in all of the election facilities looking for potential problems in this election. Let's just get it out front of it. How about that? Coming up, we'll talk to Sudhir Ruthod. He's running for St. Louis County Council in what could switch the balance of power in St. Louis County. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.